It's Wednesday, July the 8th. The economy is suffering during the pandemic, yet the environment has improved in some places.
We've seen global carbon emissions drop quite sharply during the pandemic as nationwide shutdowns have caused less activity, less driving, less flying, all these things that cause emissions.
We'll look at the challenge of jumpstarting the economy while trying to save the earth. Plus, Dr. Anthony Fauci updates the timeline for a COVID-19 vaccine. And the pandemic pushes people to buy RVs, leading to some dicey driving.
People are getting stuck in drive-thru restaurants or running over bushes or crashing into buildings.
I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Dr. Anthony Fauci is expressing concern about recent spikes in COVID-19 cases as communities across the country reopen.
The current state is really not good. A series of circumstances associated with various states and cities trying to open up in the sense of getting back to some form of normality has led to a situation where we've now had record-breaking cases.
The top U.S. infectious disease doctor also provided a timeline in the quest for a vaccine.
If things go the way it looks like they're going, one of these candidates will enter phase 3 trial for efficacy at the end of July. Other candidates will sequentially come in, another one at the end of August, one in September, and one in October. So we hope as we go along that by the end of this year or the beginning of 2021, we will at least have an answer whether the vaccine or vaccines, plural, are safe and effective.
Meantime, President Trump says he wants states to open schools this fall.
We don't want people to make political statements or do it for political reasons. They think it's going to be good for them politically, so they keep the schools closed. No way. So we're very much going to put pressure on governors and everybody else to open the schools, to get them open.
Critics, including teachers' union leaders, caution against moving too quickly with coronavirus cases rising in some areas. We've spoken recently about the hardship COVID-19 is causing in Latin America and how Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has tested positive for the coronavirus. He's one of the most prominent world leaders to play down the severity of the pandemic. After testing positive, he continued to stress the need to restart the economy. Some of this may reflect his own skepticism about the danger of the pandemic. And as our Luciana Magalhães reports from Sao Paulo, it could be a move to win votes.
According to political analysts, he's thinking now about his re-election. Brazil will have presidential elections in 2022. And a lot of people who voted for Bolsonaro in the last campaign who have been directly hit by this crisis and lost a lot in the last few months.
Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador visits President Trump today in Washington, their first face-to-face meeting. The new trade agreement between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada took effect on July 1st. Pro-Beijing officials applauding in Hong Kong as a new Chinese National Security Office opened. It's the latest step in implementing China's new national security law. Security was especially tight at the opening ceremony to keep out pro-democracy activists. Civil rights leaders expressed disappointment after a meeting yesterday with Facebook's CEO Mark Zuckerberg. They say there wasn't progress on their demands over how Facebook polices hate speech. After the meeting, Facebook said it's invested billions to moderate content, adding it's taken hundreds of white supremacist entities off its platform. Coming up, traders are losing money as hopes for a swift reopening of the U.S. economy start to fizzle. Plus, the pandemic is hurting tech startups. We'll look at the job losses. The world's largest movie theater chain is close to a deal that could help it avert bankruptcy. We're reporting that AMC is close to striking a financing deal with the private equity firm Silver Lake. AMC has shut down theaters nationwide and doesn't plan to start U.S. screenings until July 30th. A new report reveals the pandemic has been harsh on tech startups, shedding nearly 70,000 global jobs since March. According to BuyShares, more than 25,000 cuts have been made in the San Francisco region alone as companies like Uber and Airbnb cut back. As we've been reporting, growth in COVID-19 cases is putting many plans to reopen the U.S. economy on pause. Stocks of companies that stand to benefit from reopening are taking a hit. Markets editor Quinton Webb breaks it down.
So if you look at some of the stocks that have fallen the most in the last month or so, those include some of the big airlines and some of the big cruise operators. So people like American Airlines, people like Norwegian Cruise, Carnival. And banks have also been hit reasonably badly as well. I think the major kind of banks index that investors tend to look at is down about 18% in a month. Because, of course, if the economy isn't getting back on track as quickly as anticipated, you might expect that financial institutions won't be as profitable as hoped. So that's not to say that there aren't stocks that are doing brilliantly. Think of Amazon, for example, which just crossed this $1.5 trillion market capitalization milestone. But a certain amount of skepticism is creeping into the market about the short or medium term outlook for companies that depend on a kind of normalized economy.
Up next, pandemic stimulus plans that aim to help the economy and the earth. We've been talking a lot about pandemic stimulus plans to jumpstart the global economy. In some parts of the world, governments are also mixing in green initiatives aiming to help the environment and the economy. Senior reporter Sarah McFarland covers energy for the Wall Street Journal and joins us from London. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Mark.
Sarah, the recent Bloomberg New Energy Finance report shows $583 billion in global pledges to boost green efforts. How is this money being spent?
So we're seeing a lot of that spending coming from the EU as part of their stimulus package. There are other countries as well that are doing different initiatives to try and tap into supporting green spending. But the bulk of that $583 billion is coming from Europe. And we're seeing that that is from a total of $12 trillion in stimulus. So we're seeing about 5% of spending directed at green initiatives. So different countries are doing different things. In Europe, we're seeing them set up a fund of $17 billion, for example, that's going to help finance renewable energy projects, so solar and wind and investments in batteries. In China, we've seen an extension of subsidies supporting electric vehicles. I mean, it's really varies country to country. In the US, we saw almost everything that had been proposed as green initiatives in the government stimulus package taken out. Although in the US, there has been an extension to tax credits for renewable energy projects. There's been very little else that's gone through to support green initiatives with this stimulus money.
Is everyone on board with this? Are the companies that are receiving the stimulus money excited about it, or are they in some cases lukewarm?
Do you know, it's mixed. There's definitely a business pushback where companies want the focus to be on jobs. You know, they're still in crisis mode. They don't want anything onerous, such as environmental requirements, put on them at a time where they're in survival mode. But by the same token, I think that there are companies that realize, look, you know, emissions are a huge ongoing issue. This is an opportunity because we've seen global carbon emissions drop quite sharply during the pandemic as nationwide shutdowns have caused less activity, less driving, less flying, all these things that cause emissions. So we have seen a sharp fall in emissions. And I think for some companies, some environmental activists, that has been something that's given them hope about actually we can make serious change quite rapidly when we want to.
Initiatives sound great, but will they really bring any kind of tangible benefits in return?
You know, it's hard to say. I think a lot of people would argue that after 2008, 2009 financial crisis, when there was some stimulus spending on green initiatives, where we really saw benefit was in renewable energy. So we've seen the costs of wind and solar energy drop dramatically in the decades since then. you know, renewables is where the majority of new electricity investment has been going over coal and gas because it has become so much more competitive than it was. So you could say that was one of the direct benefits of the stimulus packages funding or targeting funding green spending, you know, and that included in Asia, in South Korea, in China. There were efforts around that. Governments have to look at what's worked in the past, what hasn't, and try and find the best way forward to have the biggest impact on emissions, given all of these countries have signed up to this Paris Agreement to try and limit global warming to below 2 degrees and ideally 1.5 degrees. And that's a really tough challenge.
The Wall Street Journal's Sarah McFarland joining us from London. Sarah, great to have you here.
Thanks very much, Mark.
And finally, it's the pandemic purchase that's hard to miss and can be difficult to drive. RV sales and rentals are seeing a surge as Americans forego flying and hotel stays. But piloting a massive RV requires skill and precision. Keep in mind, a typical mid-sized car is about 15 feet, an RV can stretch to 40 feet. As the Wall Street Journal's Joe Barrett discovered, a lot of RV newbies are struggling.
They're hard to handle. They're bigger than you expect. They're wider than you expect. They're taller than you expect. So people are getting stuck in drive-through restaurants or running over bushes or crashing into buildings. There's just, you know, quite a bit of mayhem on the roads right now as people get used to these vehicles that they've never driven before.
And by the way, many of the first-time buyers aren't just using their RV to travel. We're finding that some use it as a mobile office to put a little variety in their work-from-home routine during the pandemic. And that's what's news for this Wednesday morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We're back with another updated episode this evening. And in the meantime, we're always updating WSJ.com and our app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.